Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 22 on page 358. We are reflecting on the life of the prophet Elijah and God's word through him to his people. And as in chapter 20, we are reminded here that God does not merely speak through the prophet Elijah, but through other prophets as well to King Ahab. Normally, this chapter is not considered when we reflect on the life of Elijah. The reason we are considering it, because it's too good to skip over. First of all, that's just my personal. But it is, God is reminding Elijah that he, remember in chapter 19, when he comes to the Lord, fleeing from Jezebel, he says to the Lord, I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord says, no, you're not the only one left. There is over 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. And then immediately in the next chapter, God reveals that he has spoken to Ahab through three other prophets. Prophets whose names are not mentioned. And here, when we begin to read, we don't know it's not Elijah. In actual fact, the way in which the author reveals to us that it's not Elijah makes us think of Elijah first of all. We'll see it in verse 8. The Lord is reminding Elijah that his word is not bound to one man, and his cause in this world is not bound to one person. God is at work in this world, and people come and go, but his word remains forever. And so here, right at the beginning, we are reminded of God's word that is supreme. And that is the focus of what we see in this chapter. Now, it's a long chapter, but it's a beautiful story. So listen, and children, listen well. Because it's surprising. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire first for the word of the Lord Yahweh. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here another prophet of Yahweh of whom we may inquire? And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Who do you think? Elijah? That's what we're supposed to think. But it's not Elijah. It's Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made for himself horns of iron and said, thus says Yahweh, with these you will push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so and said, go up to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. Yahweh will give it into the hand of the king. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as Yahweh lives, what Yahweh says to me, that I will speak. And when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And he answered, go up and triumph. Yahweh will give it into the hand of the king. And the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him on the right hand and on the left. And Yahweh said, who will entice Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before Yahweh, saying, I will entice him. And Yahweh said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you will entice him and you will succeed. Go out and do so. Now therefore, behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. Yahweh has declared disaster for you. Then Zedekiah the son of Kenaanah came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, how did the Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, seize Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, Yahweh has not spoken by me. And he said, hear, all you peoples. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. So they turned to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Therefore, he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle continued that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until the evening he died. And the blood of his wound flowed into the bottom of his chariot. And about sunset, a cry went throughout the army, every man to his city and every man to his country. And the king died and was brought to Samaria. And he was buried, and they buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up the blood, his blood, and the prostitutes washed themselves in it according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did and the ivory house that he built and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. This for the reading of God's holy and infallible word. And you'll be helped this morning just to leave your Bibles open so that we can reflect on this passage together. The theme of this passage is very clear. When we despise the word will destroy us, because the word of the Lord will triumph. As I wrestled with how to focus on this passage, I realized that probably the best way to understand what the Lord is saying to us here is to focus on the main characters. And so this morning, we're going to focus on the two prophets. The prophet Zedekiah and Micaiah. And tonight, we're going to focus on the two kings. Now, prophetic battles are something that actually happens quite frequently. Amos has a famous duel with one of the priests of King Jeroboam II in Amos 7. And Jeremiah in Jeremiah 28 has his famous battle with Hananiah. And it's a battle between the true prophet and the false prophet. And that's what we see here as well. We see a false word spoken by Zedekiah and all his cronies. A word that sounds great, but a word of deception. We are warned about the danger of false prophets in his testimony. Now let's draw ourselves into the story and see this false prophet at work. In chapter 20, the Syrians were attacking the Israelites, and God gave victory after victory after victory. And at the end of the chapter, we see that instead of doing what God has clearly called him to do, to destroy the Syrian king, Ahab make a handshake deal with the king. The king, Ben-Hadad, said to him, "You can get back all the cities that were taken from you, and you can put up a marketplace in Damascus." But now, 3 years later, we hear there was still a city, Ramoth Gilead, that has not been given back. And so the visit of Jehoshaphat, Ahab's son-in-law. Now, Jehoshaphat was actually a very godly king, and the book of Kings deal with him very cursory. It's in Chronicles that we encounter his reign more deeply. But it's clear here that he seeks God guidance from Yahweh. As he arrives, Ahab uses the occasion to stir up his troops to go and take back Ramoth Gilead. Why? Because Ramoth Gilead, situated about 25 to 30 miles east of the Lake Galilee, it was a city through which two major trade routes ran. And so it was a city, if you have a toll booth there, would generate a lot of income. And Ahab needed income, didn't he? I don't know what it cost to build a house of ivory, but I am sure it wasn't cheap. And we're told he had lots of cities that he was building. So Ahab wants the city back for wealth. And so he uses his son-in-law. His troops combined will provide the force needed to take it back. Jehoshaphat agrees to go with him. "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." But Jehoshaphat wants a word from Yahweh. And Ahab agrees. He has lined up many who is willing to bring him a word from Yahweh. And so he rounds up almost 400 prophets, and they all agree that it is wise. And not only wise, it has divine approval for you to go up. But Jehoshaphat sees through these sham prophets, and he asks for one more. We'll get back to the one more. Ahab, we are told, and Jehoshaphat were sitting in their splendor at the gate of Samaria, and the 400 prophets were prophesying before them. Now, how do you distinguish yourself when you're competing with almost 400 other men to get the ear of the king? You have to be quite ingenious to have a word that stands out, to speak with a voice of greater authority than anyone else. Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, was such a man. We are told there in verse 11 that he made himself horns of iron. And then we can imagine as he runs, as it were, back and forth before the two seated thrones, he demonstrates the power of the horn with which Yahweh has decreed that the Syrians would be destroyed by King Ahab. With these, ye shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. Zedekiah, beautiful name. The Lord is righteousness. Yahweh is righteousness. And yet, is the son of Kenaniah. Now, it sounds in Hebrew and is very close to the word for Canaanite. Is this a way in which we are reminded that he is speaking not only for Yahweh, but he is also speaking when required for the pagan gods? So if Ahab wants a word from Baal, Zedekiah will give it. If he wants a word from Yahweh, Zedekiah will give it. It's very clear that Zedekiah is willing to speak forcefully to the king to affirm what the king desires. Behind Zedekiah's words is Deuteronomy 33 verse 17, in which Moses, as he speaks about Joseph and the sons of Joseph, declare that they would be a firstborn bull. He has majesty, and his horn are the horns of a wild ox, and with them they shall gore the people, all of them, to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. The strongest tribes of the northern kingdom, which Ahab rules over, are given this prophetic word. And it's this word which inspires Zedekiah. He is saying, this prophecy of the Lord will now be fulfilled in you, King Ahab. He is not afraid to use the scriptures to tell the king exactly what he wants to hear. Here is the danger of false prophets. They're hard to spot because they stand often before us with open Bibles. They use the Word of God to tell us what we want to hear. That's the seduction of the false teacher. That's why they are so difficult to deny and to spot. Because with open Bibles, they speak to us what we like to hear. Paul warns us, doesn't he, that in the last days, people will have itching ears, and they will seek out for themselves teachers who would tell them what they want to hear. And here we see. And notice, it's an entertaining word, isn't it? This guy was quite amusing. Horns of iron. He does not merely preach, but he acts out in a parable the word to give strength to the word. It's amusing and entertaining. It's persuasive. False teachers, come. And they tell us what is so soothing to our own egos and what we like to hear. And they do it in ways that we like and we enjoy. But it's destructive. And what we see is that a false teacher will always act in a way in which he defends what he is saying. He will always expose whoever opposes him as a false teacher. That's why it's so difficult, isn't it? Because who is the false teacher? After Micaiah preaches the opposite of what all the other preachers preached, Zedekiah hits him on the cheek. He slaps him. And he says, how did the Spirit move from me to you? Somewhere the Spirit must have gone lost, because it's not the Spirit of Yahweh that spoke through me that is now speaking through you. You are the imposter, Micaiah. You are the false teacher. You see, false teachers claim for themselves such divine authority that no one may ever contradict them. Kosti Hinn, the cousin of the renowned television charismatic evangelistic, well, I should say charismatic healing evangelist, Benny Hinn, talks about how in the charismatic movement there is this idea that the one who preaches is the Lord's anointed that may never be challenged. That you may not speak against the Lord's anointed. That's what we see here. In this man, we are warned about false teachers. We see their deception. And we are called to test their word against the word of the Lord. They must be weighed and measured against all that God revealed. Micaiah comes because he's specially summoned by the king. Now, before we even meet him, we like him because he's like Elijah, isn't he? We're told that Ahab hated him because he never speaks good concerning me, but evil. We'll look more closely at Ahab tonight. But if Ahab hates a prophet, we listen and respect him. His name is just as beautiful who is like Yahweh. And it's a name that he indwells, isn't it? He fears Yahweh more than he fears any man. Who is like Yahweh? No one is like Yahweh in his heart. And when we meet him on the way to the king with the messenger who tempts him by putting pressure on him. Behold, verse 13, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. Do you hear the pressure? But do you also see the way in which this man view the word that prophets speak? The word is malleable. The word is changeable to suit the ears of the king. It doesn't really matter what the Lord says. What matters is what you say to the king. And so tell the king what he wants to hear. You see, here is the view of false prophets. The word of God is for sale. And so whatever people want to hear, that's what you tell them. And then you'll succeed. And you'll succeed mightily. You'll be rewarded. This is quite a temptation, isn't it? Luther, when he stood before the Emperor Charles, surrounded by all the bishops and all the leaders, he was challenged. Do you think you and you alone understand the word of God? What arrogance is that? That you think that you alone have the authority of God behind you. Deny what you wrote and repent. The temptation and the pressure is tremendous, but we hear the heart of Micaiah, who is like Yahweh. As Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, lives, he is the living God, not a dead idol whose words can be twisted. No, he lives. And when he speaks to me, I may not say anything except what he has given me to speak. Here is a man who fears Yahweh and fears no one else, because he knows Yahweh lives and he is accountable to him and him alone. Unless we anchor our hearts there, we will not receive the word of the Lord ever. Unless we anchor our hearts here and then know that when God speaks, it is the truth, and we dare not, may not alter it to suit our purposes, we will buckle to the pressure. Buckle to the pressure of a culture who wants to rewrite all of God's moral law to fit them. In our culture, the pressure is only going to grow greater for us to exchange the Word of God for the acceptance of our culture. And unless we surrender here, saying as it were with Peter, you remember there at the end of John 6, after everybody left Jesus because of his sermon that I am the bread of life, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And everyone left him, and only the 12 remained. And he says, why don't you go? And Peter says, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Unless you and I know that it is Jesus and the Word of God that is the word of eternal life, we will always be tempted to give it in. But there is nowhere else to go. The true prophet of God anchors his soul there, and he doesn't budge. And that's why we're so surprised, and we should be, when he gets to the king and he says to the king, well, go up. Go up and you will triumph. That's the first thing, isn't it? Look at verse 15. And when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go up and triumph, Yahweh will give it into the hand of the king. What? You just said you will only say what the Lord says. What are you agreeing with his prophets? Well, notice verse 16. And the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh? Ahab knows he's not speaking the truth. So, how did he know? Was it Micaiah's tone? Was there sarcasm with which he said those words? We can't hear it in writing, can we? That's a possibility. Another possibility is that this is the way in which he always speaks to Ahab. That Ahab knows the pattern. We know that he has spoken to Ahab before. Ahab hates him because he has nothing good to say to him ever. Now, it doesn't really matter. There is method to his madness. He is not changing the word of God, but what is he doing? He's saying to Ahab, the word of God doesn't matter to you. I can tell you anything. You're not going to listen to God anyway. You're going to do what you want. So I might as well tell you what you want to hear, because the word of God, you don't care about that. And yet, this is the irony. Who asks him to speak the truth? Who swears that he should speak the word of God to him? Ahab. Ahab demands that he speaks nothing but the truth from Yahweh. And what happens? Well, he tells him the truth. He tells him exactly what's going to happen. In prophetic manner, he says, you're going to die. Israel, I have seen on the mountain, will be like sheep scattered without a shepherd. And Yahweh said, I have no master. Let each one return to his home in peace. And what is Ahab's reaction? Remember his reaction when Elijah confronted him last. He tore his clothes in sackcloth and he went and mourned dejectedly. And the Lord in his kindness postponed the judgment on his house. Is Ahab going to repent here? He should. He should. But he doesn't. Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? Ahab wants the truth, but he is going to ignore the truth completely. Micaiah speaks and reveals the word of God faithfully. And yet the king, even though he demands it, wants nothing to do with it. I will have more to say tonight about Ahab's rejection. But now notice that when Micaiah is arrested and sent to prison, he in no way seeks to ask for mercy. He is willing to suffer for the word of the Lord. And he is willing to have the word of the Lord be tested in his mouth. The very thing that Moses said when he announced that God will raise up a prophet, a great prophet, that is finally fulfilled in Christ. He gives the ultimate test for a true prophet of the Lord, and that is the word that he speaks will be true. And when Ahab sends him away, he says, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you come in peace, Yahweh has not spoken by me, then I am truly a false prophet. And I deserve to die. He doesn't have to defend the word of God. He submits himself to be tested. Because he knows that even though he is bound, the word of God is free, and the word of God will triumph. And if he had not spoken the word, then it won't come true. But if he had spoken the word, then it will come true. Hear, all you peoples. That's his last word. Actually, it's his last word to all of us. We don't know what happened to him next. In actual fact, this is all we know about this man. Hear, all you peoples. Do you hear the word of God? It takes courage to stand upon the word of God. This man displays the courage to stand against kings, to stand against peer pressure, to stand against the culture rooted in the Word of God. Are you anchored in God's Word? So that you can stand against the temptation to conform, not to the Word of God, but to the culture around us. We face all kinds of trials. We have a version of thought police and ministry of truth that will police what we say, what we're willing to convey to others. Are we anchored in the Word of God so that we will not in any way deny the truth of God's Word to conform to the culture? If we do, the Word of God will destroy us. Zedekiah, we don't know exactly how this happened, but Micaiah makes it clear that a great terror will come upon him and he will go and hide in his room, and then he will know the word of the Lord. Read Jeremiah 28 sometime and see what happens to the prophet Hananiah and his rebellion against the word of God through Jeremiah. Read Amos 7 and see what happens to Amaziah. God's word triumph, and the false prophet will be destroyed. God's word will remain. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would hear, that we would have ears to hear, and that we would surrender our hearts truly to know that there was no one like you, no one who speaks truth, and give us the grace to surrender our hearts to truly rest in your word. This we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name alone. Amen.